everybody, it's me, Kathleen Madigan. Welcome to Madigan's Pubcast. You grab yourself a drink, pull up a bar stool, let's talk about what's been going on. Termites! The pub is open week 37. What? How exciting, right? Did you watch the royal funeral? Oh, what a sense of occasion, wouldn't you say? I would say it was quite stoic, quite cold. Certainly not like a good Irish funeral, I'm telling you that. No funny eulogies, no nothing. Although it was quite a display of the jewels, was it not? All of the jewelry that...
Stolen.
That they've stolen throughout the years, and all they have left is what the Vikings didn't steal from them. Oh, what a twisted, but I did feel a little bit bad for the Queen, even though... You know, as an Irish Catholic person, their behavior in the last, say, couple thousand years hasn't been stellar regarding us or quite a few other groups of people globally. I did feel sorry for her a little bit. She's still a lady and a little old lady. She seemed to like him well enough, right? Yes. And how about you live long enough to design your own hearse? What? He designed that green Land Rover. And then I thought, wow, look at you, hillbilly self, just throwing the coffin in the back of a truck. But it didn't go in the back. It went on rails. Then it clicked in the coffin. And I thought, wow, what if they start driving and that thing slips off?
International tragedy.
It would be an international tragedy, especially if it fell right into Harry and his legs were chopped off. Oh, my God. Will Meghan want him back now? Wow. It was something to see. Wait, and that's with COVID restrictions. What we saw, if you saw any of Prince Philip's funeral, that's with COVID restrictions. And when, if the Queen can make it to when there aren't COVID restrictions, boy, because when they decide to do it up big, they know how to do it up big. They got outfits. I mean, there was like a lot of Hogwarts shit going on there. They got wands. They have crazy. No, that one guy had a wand.
What?
Yeah, he was like not a priest or I don't know what he was. And he had on tights, like a court, almost like a giant court jester, but he had a wand and it had like a, looked like a square thing on the end that he would just go, fire. If they had wands and fire came out, how great would that be? But I'm telling you, if the Queen dies and COVID restrictions are off and they do it like they do it all throughout London, that's when Meghan, you know, you might. Have a look at that and think, maybe I didn't make the right choice. Because I'm still saying, in a UFC smackdown of longevity, Oprah versus the Queen, my money's going on the Queen. She's got 2,000 years of it behind her. Oprah, not so many of those years. Anyway, moving on. Just thought it was fresh on my mind because I'd watched some of it when I got up. I actually forgot it was on, and then it was like, boom, all the channels. Anderson Cooper is losing his mind. He's so into it. Now, do you think, what will the Queen do this afternoon? Same thing she's been doing for like the last probably 25 years. Anderson, nothing. She'll go home and have some tea, sit down. That's what 94-year-old people do. Speaking of queens, look what I've received. I got to stop talking like that. It's the Dolly Parton little comic book for the female force. And you know what? It's okay. It's good for like kids. Like if you read it to a kid, it teaches them how to be a good person. It tells you the story of Dolly, but, you know, it's fine. It's fine.
Her ice cream was better.
It's well drawn. And, although, well, I mean, it's cartoonish, but they really go over the top on her boobs. Like, wow, I don't know that this really is for kids. Anyway, there you go. I still haven't gotten the ice cream, but they did redo the order because it went so crazy. They redid Dolly's strawberry pretzel ice cream. I, for whatever reason, follow Chris Stapleton on Instagram, and he got some, and he said it's great. So if you take your life recommendations from Chris Stapleton,
yeah,
why not, right? Why not take them from him? He said it's wonderful. So if you get a hold of it from Jenny's, I don't know if their website, she crashed their website. Those poor people, there's probably an expectation. shit's going to be weirder than normal. But then it goes like breaking everything out. Fred Bird has taken front and center because the Cardinals are sucking. And you know what? Just a shout out to anybody who might be listening in the Cardinals organization. If we have to score 10 runs every game to win, we're not going to, that won't work. No. We need some new pitchers. So I don't know who you call or who you got to trade. Let's get some pitching going. Okay. And when they've already had five to nothing and we're losing, pull the pitcher. Just going to throw that one out too. All right. This is important, termites. See this dog? Remember, I told you guys about this dog brew bush beer? Well, they're having a contest, and your dog will get $20,000 plus benefits if they choose your dog to be the face of this. So go on Instagram. We'll put it in the show notes. I told my sister to do it with her dog, although her dog, Buster, he's an Australian Shepherd. He looks more like a seltzer dog, I think. He's a little sophisticated. They need, like, my cousin Mike, sadly the dog died, but he had a bloodhound. Like, that's a bush dog. Like, or Sonny. And his name was Bush. Yeah. Or my friend Robin, her dog Sonny, because he's a bird dog. Like, you think of, you know, it's not a very, bush beer itself is not, let's shall we say, crafty or sophisticated. So, if you think your dog looks kind of hillbilly, I don't know what they're going to choose. But if I had a dog, which I can't because, well, I used to travel. But I'm starting again. Reno, I'm coming there in July. Boom. Selbyville, Delaware. I didn't know it was there. It's by Rehoboth. I've looked it all up. Coming there, too. Reno, I'm going to have Michael Palisak's going to be the opener for that show. And then in Selbyville, one of my favorite comedians, who's a Northeast comic, Kelly McFarlane, is going to be on that gig. So there you go. And then there's a bunch more on my website. It's starting. So when I used to travel and then I didn't travel and now I'm gonna be traveling again, that's why I can't have a dog. I would love to have a beagle more than anything in the world, but no can do with the amount of travel. But if you do have a dog, go to the show notes. Just go on Instagram or Google Bush Beer Dog Contest. 20 grand and benefits. And then your dog's...
Benefits?
Yeah. I didn't go through them all, but there's benefits. Seriously.
Cool.
And 20 grand's a salary. All your dog's got to do is sit there and act like it drinks bush beer. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Awesome.
And my cousin Mike's dog, I should post a picture of him. His name was actually Bush, as in bush beer, and he drank beer. He actually sat, so sad he died. Bloodhounds are takes a certain kind of person to handle one, and my cousin Mike would have been, definitely was that guy. Just a little tragedy there we don't need to go into, but... Anyway, that's a little tip. Now, what am I drinking? Because the pub is open. Look at this. I love this can. Fairhope 51 Pale Ale. This is from Fairhope, Alabama, which is by Mobile, Alabama, which is a wonderful place to go golf if you like. And it's on the, it's right there on Mobile Bay, which is the Gulf of Mexico. It's just a wonderful place. It's an adorable town, Fairhope. And this is such an old school color. Maybe I'll make the ranch poster this color because that's going to be the name of the tour. Genial. Do you have any ranch? Mm-hmm. And I need a cool color for a poster. It's like silver blue. Anyway, do you have any ranch? As a matter of fact, I do have ranch. I have a lot of ranch. I got ranch that I'm going to, I went and got this one because I've never tasted Newman's Own Ranch. And a lot of Paul Newman dressings. First of all, I like Paul because all the profits go to charity, which is nice. Especially because he probably doesn't need any money anymore, right? He's super old now, and he's Paul Newman. So, but I put it in here. You guys can't see it if you're listening, but I tasted it. And it's so tangy, it even tanged me out.
Yeah.
Or maybe I got a bad bottle.
Did you shake it?
Yeah. They've made $550 million. Since 1982 and giving it all to charity. Learn more at newmansownfoundation.org. Good for him. But then I got this one. This is the original, it just says Simply Ranch Hidden Valley. And let me tell you what, this, you forget how good just regular old school, no flair, because now everything's got to have flair to make money, but this, it's great. It was perfect.
Do you like it better than regular ranch?
Yeah. Simple Ranch. Hidden Valley Simple Ranch. Great. Well done. Then one of your termites told me to go look at Pop-Tarts now makes Fruit Loop. I think somebody, whoever tweeted. Whoever tweeted me, their kid likes these. Oh. I love Pop. I don't eat Pop-Tarts usually because they're so fattening, but I thought I'm doing it. And so I opened a package of two because I do. And look, it says I'm with Sam. How cute is that? And then here's a Fruit Loop bow tie. Now, I have not tasted them, but I'm gonna, and I'm gonna have to give these to my mom. She'll eat them all. Well, that's crazy. It tastes exactly like Fruit Loops.
Oh, great.
It's a little too sugary for me, but if I was a kid, bingo. It's too much like Fruit Loops. It's perfect.
You can never have too much Fruit Loops.
Yeah, you can. No. Yeah, with the icing, yeah, it's too much. But I see why kids would literally go apeshit over those.
You got to toast it now.
I would. No. I just stick with the regular flavors.
Beer Pop-Tarts.
All right, that's all I got in our little tasting menu. So what are we going to start with? Oh, well, no. Oh, I did the Bush thing. Okay. Update. Update. Oh, my God. This one is so exciting. I told you guys a long time ago about Fungi the dolphin. Fungi used to live before the pandemic in Dingle, Ireland. Dingle is a peninsula, and then there's a little town called Dingle at the end of said peninsula. And they have tours to go meet Fungi. It's a bottlenose dolphin. He's all by himself. He's been there for years, to which my brother's like, my brother Patrick never got on board with Fungi. Like, all my other siblings, my parents, everybody was on board. He's like, this is just made. I said, what do you mean it's made up, Pat? We got on the boat and there's the fucking dolphin. There's a dolphin by itself. How do you know it's the same one? I don't, Pat. Just go with it, okay? And it was a big one. And there were all these theories about how he ended up there by himself. And I went into all that. I won't go into it again. But then he went missing during COVID. And it was super duper duper sad. And then I thought, they have a statue of Fungi in Dingle. Dingle is built around this dolphin. Not, obviously not all of it, but it's a big tourist thing. Like, if Fungi goes, I don't know, he'll just become a legend, I guess, and they'll just hope for another dolphin. But I don't know what we do with, anyway, he disappeared during COVID. And I thought, man, because the last time I was in Dingle, I didn't go out to see Fungi because it was just rainy and shitty. I don't know. I wasn't into it. Lewis wouldn't. It was too gross for him, but I would have gone. But I didn't want to go by myself. But anyway, Fungi the dolphin, who suddenly vanished 6 months ago, has been reportedly seen off the Irish coast, according to a marine watch. So he might be back. The much-loved solitary dolphin appeared in Dingle Bay off the coast of County Kerry in 1983 and has become one of the area's most beloved residents. But in October last year, despite almost daily sightings for four decades, Fungi mysteriously vanished. Now, they say that a dolphin like him lives about 50 years. So that was my other thought. But it was too coincidental. I don't think he died right. It's too coincidental that COVID, no boats, no food.
Yeah.
He ran. I figured he ran off. I don't think he's dead yet. Of course, that's probably just me hoping that. However, on Sunday, footage emerged of a bottlenose dolphin interacting with boats off the Old Head of Kinsale, giving hope that people hoped that it could be Fungi. Now, Old Head is the next peninsula, so he's not where he used to be, but he ain't that far away. I mean, it definitely could be him. In a video shared by the group, a playful dolphin can be seen larking around the water in front of some of the boats in the area. He knew to follow the boats for food. When Fungi vanished 6 months ago, people in the town of Dingle were left devastated. Yeah. As were the scores of tourists who flocked to the sleepy seaside town to see the famous dolphin. Fungi, a bottleneck dolphin, has always loved to spend time in the company of humans and has become a vital, much-loved part of the community. Since he first appeared 37 years ago, he's been a draw from across Ireland and abroad, with dolphins spotting boat trips, regularly taking people out to meet the playful dolphin. And he never doesn't show up. There's never been a trip out, so says the guy. And I've been probably five times. I've seen him every single time. But this was called off after no trace of Fungi was found. Jim Flannery, the founder and owner of Dingle's Sea Safari Tours, knows Fungi well and has an immense bond with the dolphin. He said he pulled me through. He's pulled me through thick and thin. I spent times with him when I just needed some company and not human company. I've spent it with him. I was only 12 years when Fungi arrived, and I'm sure taking people out. And I'm taking people out since I was 16 years old. He's an institution. He was the mascot. He was the sentinel at the entrance to the harbor that would meet and greet every boat, no matter what. Fungi was an adult dolphin when he appeared in the bay and is thought to be in his early to mid-40s. In the wild, dolphins have a life expectancy to around 50, and Dr. Kevin Flannery, a marine biologist in the local area, said in November that time simply could have run out for Fungi. No, I don't believe it. However, old age is not only possible cause for, it's not the only possible cause for the disappearance. Maybe there could be happier reasons. Maybe he left the bay because of the large number of dolphins in the local area. He also could have been chasing sprat. I don't know what that is.
Fish, right?
Well, yeah. Which are dolphins' favorite food further out to sea. Or the happiest outcome, Fungi, who's been alone since he arrived off the coast of Dingle, could have eloped with a partner.
What? Come on.
Well, they're just saying.
Orca
Ireland have asked people to let them know if they encounter Fungi, a solitary dolphin. I mean, I don't know how. I'm sure he knows what he actually looks like. Because dolphins do have, like, you know, scars and identifying things. You can, that's it. That's the Fungi. You can use the hashtag TechForGood to help marine scientists monitor marine life around the Irish coast. So if you're in Ireland and you're out there, you see something, hashtag tech for good. That's hopeful. Very hopeful. I was very sad when that happened because I was sad for the town too. And God almighty, there's a lot of things to do on the Dingle Coast that are awesome, but Fungi was one of them. You hate to see that just go down in flames. Update! Moving on, you guys. And remember, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm a moron with a Fred Bird beer stein.
And a wand.
And I have a lighter that's a wand, not nearly as cool as the he's not called a priest. I forgot. The deacon, I suppose. I don't know what he was called. And Prince Philip. Okay, do you guys remember the Leave Britney Alone video on YouTube that was by that guy Chris Crocker where he was crying because people were picking on Britney? It was funny. I don't think he meant for it to be funny. I think he was actually serious at the time, but it turned into a big joke. Well, that video is now sold as an NFT. And what have we learned, Termites? You are ahead of the game. Non-fungible token. You know what that means. It's sold for over $41,000.
What?
Yeah. And then I'm thinking, like, do I have a tweet or anything that went viral? I'd have to look. Maybe I'll start selling them. Huh. I don't have any videos.
Your first podcast.
I don't think you could sell the whole first podcast. Maybe, but I don't even know. I don't even know how you're doing this shit. But anyway, Chris Crocker, the creator of the iconic Leave Britney Alone viral video, auctioned off the original 2007. Wow, that was that long ago. Footage is an NFT or non-fungible token, a unique digital asset purchased with cryptocurrency. The bidding for the NFT ended Monday night, and it sold for 18.69 Ether, or over $41,000, same, to an anonymous buyer. In the video, Crocker cried and pleaded with the tabloids to leave Britney Spears alone, becoming a cultural touchstone and an early marker of how the internet would spill into the public consciousness. Leave Britney Alone has been credited one of the first viral YouTubes on videos. YouTube. I didn't know that was one of the first. Crocker's sale of the famous video as an NFT allowed for the sales of other viral digital content, including a version of Nyan Cat meme that sold for over $600,000 in February. An interview with Insider Crocker, a content creator and online personality. He's now 33 years old. He was right, though. They should have left him alone. I mean, he was a little over the top about it. Just a little. There's no need to cry about somebody you've never met. But he was saying, leave her alone. They should have left her alone. Yeah. She was like a kid. Like, the press is just relentless. It's ever since we've created like TMZ in these places. I mean, and I always look at the people who work there and I think, do you feel good about that? Like chasing Liza Minnelli down the street. She's like, you know, 150. Just leave her the fuck alone.
Ron's been on TMZ a lot.
Yes, my friend Ron has been on TMZ more than a lot of comedians, more than me, which is never. I've never been on it, nor do I want to. My favorite, though, if you go on TMZ, my favorite one of Ron, I forget where this was. It was like probably in Virginia or the Carolinas or somewhere. He had his tour bus parked outside somewhere, and drunk people just kept banging on it. And I don't even know if they were fans or if they were just drunk people. It was like 1:30 in the morning, and there's a picture of him on TMZ. He got up, and he's got boxer shorts, just boxer shorts, no shoes. So he's running down a street at age 60, probably two, and he has a golf club, which I think was a 9-iron. And he's going to literally beat the shit out of whoever is constantly banging on his bus. Thankfully, he didn't find him. Because I'm like, Ron, you can't just run around a town. Charlotte, maybe? I forget where. It was somewhere like Charlotte. It goes through my brain. You can't just run around a town with a 9-iron beating people with it. Like, what if you hit the wrong person? Like, that's assault.
Maybe
like,
he had a tea time.
He was, and he wasn't even drunk. He goes, I was just so mad. I got so sick of it. I thought I'm just going to get out of this bus. And he left, and he's running around the streets with no shoes on. But it's a great video, though. It's my favorite picture of his. Whenever he dies, I'm going to blow it up for the wake. In an interview with Insider, Crocker Content, they said they wanted to sell the content in a way to reclaim it. It's significant after years of taking hits for the frequently parodied and mocked video. I feel like a lot of people misconstrue why I wanted to sell it, Crocker said, but the real reason is I feel like I took a lot of hits for this, you know, literal hits, adding that he had been physically assaulted at gay clubs, received death threats, and felt as if the gay community was embarrassed I was a representation for them. Crocker said there was a misconception and that they'd made money off the original video as it was first posted on MySpace and gained millions of views on YouTube where multiple versions live now. But Crocker said they never made any money off the video, which was not monetized on YouTube. That's probably true. I don't even know if they had monetization back then. I really didn't get anything from the video other than be put in a box for the next 14 years, Crocker said, adding they were never able to do anything authentically without being seen as attention-seeking, particularly regarding adult entertainment work. Is he doing porn now?
I don't know.
When I hear adult entertainment,
you've got a rye.
I think porn. I mean, maybe it's something else. I can't accuse him of it. Maybe he doesn't think of it as an accusation. Crocker said they'd been curious about the NFT space and spoken about it with a couple of people in a room on Clubhouse, which is a new social media thing. I don't think I can learn that one, too. I think I'm maxed out. It's an invite-only, audio-based social media app. And yes, I've been invited, but I don't know. Was it Groucho Marx or one of those guys that said, I don't ever want to be a member of a club that would invite me to be a member of the club? Crocker said they weren't sure how to start the process, and someone in the room suggested they reach out to Writer Rips, an artist who'd recently sold an audio sex tape with Azalea Banks, who's now ex-girlfriend, as an NFT. Oh, my God. He helped him upload the file as an NFT. Crocker said the money they made from the sale would go towards helping their grandmother. That's nice. But if they end up with any additional funds, I would absolutely love to put that towards, like, me being able to become myself and live openly as a woman. Crocker, who told Insider that they identify as transgender, said that they wanted to fully represent as a woman, but because they live in a rural southern town, Bristol, Tennessee, they don't feel safe doing so in public until they can afford a full male-to-female transition. For now, they're not picky with pronouns, but mostly they and them.
Okay.
Let's just leave that one there.
Okay.
People are very backward, and I already stick out for being feminine. So I thought if I'm going to do it, I'd still be here and live around my family. I have to go, like, all the way. He wants to transition to be a woman, so that's what he's going to use the money for. If, in fact, there's any extra money after grandma, they take care of grandma. I don't know what's wrong with grandma. Yeah, a lot going on. Yeah. Here's a little something. Now, none of us are Australian, but I thought this was kind of interesting. Mystery flights are the next big thing at Qantas. Is the latest airline to offer flights to undisclosed locations, providing passengers with clues about what to pack and teasing itineraries provided by the airline. Would you ever book a mystery flight? And I thought, I know what this is. This is their chance to sex traffic me.
What?
Come on. Who's not looking for a 5'1", 50-something lady? Sex. This is how you get sex traffic. You fall. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. But it did make me laugh in my own mind when I thought that. At first, I said, no fucking way would I do this. And I think people on Twitter kind of felt the same way. But then I read about it, and check this out. I think now I would do it. Because first of all, the reason I would do it is it's only for a day. So that's fine. You got a day to, I got to go to the, I took a picture of it, a screenshot of the info. Give me 1 second. Okay, here we go. So it's expensive though. It's a day trip. Like you show up in the morning, you don't know where you're going, but they do give you clues and you can choose. But get a load of this. Economy, $737.
What?
I know.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. But all this stuff is included. You get the full day of activities, best suited for over 18, reasonable fitness letters, modern mobility. And then you get to choose, like, it leaves out of Melbourne, Sydney, or Brisbane. And you return in the evening. But you can say, like, do you like the beach? Do you like hiking? Are you a city person? And then they'll hook you up.
To there for a day?
Yeah.
$800?
$737. I don't know. I think I could plan my own surprise day trip and surprise myself.
For
especially
less.
At this age, I don't even remember what I planned.
Wow.
So everything's kind of, I said my parents, everything they do is a surprise trip. Everything. They end up at Lowe's. Why are we here? I don't know. I thought you needed to be here. They have no idea. Oh, too, I wanted to thank Lynn from Pennsylvania. I won't say last names in case. Just randomly sent me scratch-offs, and I won $2, and I'll be keeping this in my wallet till I get back to Pennsylvania because I think you have to be in those states to cash it. I'm 99% certain of that. But thank you. And that was just 3 little $1 scratch-offs to say thanks for the podcast. How adorable is that?
Nice.
Yeah, and I love scratch-offs. Matter of fact, I just bought a shitload of scratch-offs for nieces and nephews who get rewarded for good grades with scratch-offs.
Wow.
Let's start them early.
Catch them young.
It's part of my show, The Enabler. So that was a little update. Now, here's another thing you guys should know. This is just a life thing. So I wanted to, and don't send me hate mail, for watching the Masters, because I know the Georgia voting thing, and I know, but they're never going to leave. And should I have watched it? You know, should I boycott it? Probably. But did I? Truthfully, no, I did not. I mean, I think on my CD, in other words, I did a joke about the Masters. It's on that CD for sure.
Because
somebody posted it. Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes. And I think I make my point about that. But anyway, to stream it, to watch it, when it isn't on TV, I had to get this app, Paramount Plus. And the TVs I bought in 2015 are too old to get it. And other apps, too. So I thought, all right, I'll bite the bullet, go buy another. Did you know that when you go to, like, Target and Walmart, those TVs that are out are not new? They're not used, but they're like, 2 and 3 years old, which is a bunch of shit.
What?
Like, okay. So if you go into Best Buy right now,
yeah,
you're going to see... I've noticed, like, in Target and Walmart, just passing by, you're like, oh, these big TVs are getting real cheap. Well, in Best Buy, they're not cheap, because you go in and here's the 55-inch deal, and it's like, you know, $1,000. And I'm like, I'm not paying $1,000 for a TV. Why? I just saw one at Target. What is the difference? Well, the difference is the one in Best Buy that they're displaying is 8K, which I don't need. I don't even notice that much.
Does that technology even exist yet?
I don't know. The only person that would know about that technology existing or not is my friend Lorene, because she's a techo nerdo about all that stuff, loves that stuff. But I don't. And like my parents don't even have HD TV and they don't even know it because their vision's shitty. They think they're looking at a clear picture because I go over there and I'm like, oh my God, why don't you let me buy you a new TV? Why? Why would you spend the money? This picture is wonderful. Oh, wow, you guys are blinder than I thought. But anyway... So when you go into Best Buy, those are the 2021s. So I went to Target and I said to the kid working there, I'm like, do you know what year these TVs are? Because I thought, well, shit, I don't want to buy another one that can't do the apps. And he's like, oh, because it doesn't say on the tag. It presents it as if you're buying a new television. And you are not.
Like you're, 2020.
Yes, you're buying new, meaning it's never been out of the box, but it's an old model. But they don't say that unless you ask. So he went climbing around. One was a 2018. Yeah. So that's just a little something. Now, if you go on Best Buy's website, you can order what you want that isn't the fancy pizzancy stuff that's in the store. You can buy like a 4K, which to me is all that's needed. Just note that, though, that I always thought that I was buying a new TV.
Is it more expensive to get a 2021?
Yes, a 2021 is more expensive, but not a lot more if you know to go on the website and don't buy the 8K crap, because they do have the 4K stuff and all that online. But if you went into Best Buy to buy a new TV, you'd think, oh, shit, they're going up again. They're not. It's just those are the 8K super, I don't know. I don't even watch. Well, I have watched a lot of TV during COVID. I don't normally because I'm just gone. But that's just something to think about. Little tip, little piece of human knowledge I didn't know.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Everybody's welcome on that one.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, here's a little something. What are we watching? Well, I can't remember if I talked about it. I started The Serpent on Netflix. And I finished The Serpent on Netflix. And it's about...
How was it?
It was great. The Serpent was great. And it's a true story. I Googled all of it. You know, I mean, some of the dialogue's made up, but the facts are there. And it's about this man back in like the 60s and 70s. The hippie children from globally, not just America, Canada, Holland, Denmark... They used to want to go to like Kathmandu and India and China and all that, Asia, Thailand. And this guy, there was a spot where they would all kind of, somewhere right, Nepal it was. And then he would trick them into thinking he was great, having great parties. And he ended up just killing tons of these teenagers, maybe 20-somethings. But I also thought, you know, again, this is Lewis, my friend, Lewis the comedian. It's Lewis's generation. Like, my father would have no more let me go to Kathmandu alone. Some of the girls went alone. No cell phone, bag full of traveler's checks. I mean, the easiest part. And my sister goes, well, what do you think Dad would have done? I go, I never got that far. I just know I'm not allowed to do that. I honestly, what would he have done to stop me from going to Kathmandu alone? He would, anything. He might have punched me in the face. I mean, he's not a violent guy. He's never hit us. But that to stop us, if he had to get physical, I think he would have. I don't understand these parents that, I guess they're 18. The kids can do whatever they want. But it's one thing to go to an English-speaking country where you kind of know the gig. Like, I backpacked through Ireland and England with my cousin Mary. Like, we would take 3 weeks. And we didn't have any money or anything. But, you know, stay in hostels and all that. But to go to, like, deep, deep Asia? I mean, obviously they didn't deserve anything.
What's deep Asia?
Well, not just like, it's not like they just went to Tokyo.
Right.
They're on buses going through Nepal and they're crossing into crazy parts of Thailand. That,
there's no Starbucks.
Yeah. There's not even a Dunkin' Donuts.
Mm-mm. You know what they have? Beer.
They do have beer. That's the great thing about every documentary. No matter where you're in the world, there's always beer. And it always looks the same. So you know it's going to be good. It's going to be great. Anyway, I would highly recommend The Serpent. I don't know. And I said to, like, Lewis knows two people who were involved with cults. What? My generation? Even my parents are too old to be hippies. My mom has a sister that would fit into that age bracket. And then I think... You know, that was when Vietnam was going on. That generation, I'm like, did you hate your parents' life that much that you looked at it and went, I got to get the fuck to Asia?
Right.
What? Like, How about Italy? Let's just start slow before we go all the way into places where you don't speak the language, you know nothing about the culture, you don't know if anyone's telling you the truth. And that's why they were all drawn to this French kind of guy, because he spoke English, he spoke French, he would seem like a friendly face, and they were like, oh yeah, and you know, I'm a fellow Frenchman from Quebec. And it's just a crazy, the idea of it is just, even if I was allowed to, I wouldn't have done it. Like, I'd have been too freaked out. Like, why don't we just stay Dublin?
Dublin.
All right, now here, this is a super nerdy thing I watched by accident on the treadmill, because I was out of stuff, and I thought, all right, I'll do it. It's called Stalin's Granddaughter, and I think... It's not hard. It's not a hard subject.
Hard.
It's Stalin's Daughter. And I think it was on Amazon Prime. Yes, I knew Joseph Stalin had children. After that, I don't know shit. I don't know what happened to him. I never thought about it at all. And this story about his daughter, and she grew older and had two kids, and she bolted out of communist Russia. Joseph Stalin was dead at this point. But she left her two kids behind, and I don't know about all that. I don't think I could have. They weren't kids. They were 17 and 20, but still, it's kind of, we all stay, we all go for this lady anyway. I just couldn't. I would just feel so guilty. And the fact that you escaped and defected, now they're going to treat your kids even like more shit, but you can watch it. And then what's even crazier, she makes it to America. And my parents are old enough to remember. I said to my dad, do you remember Stalin's daughter defecting and coming to America? He's like, oh, yeah, it was a huge deal. She was on every channel and was big. She was on 60 Minutes. Well, then what happens to her is a slow meltdown that is just, and she ends up dying in a nursing home in Wisconsin.
God.
Yeah.
Wisconsin?
Wisconsin. It reminded her of a part of Russia that she liked. Yeah, I don't know. But then I went one step further. She had two children when she lived there in Russia, and she had one child here in America with an American who was an assistant to Frank Lloyd Wright, the architect.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
That child,
crazy.
That's Stalin's granddaughter, now is a Buddhist who runs an antique store in Portland, Oregon.
What?
Now,
what?
Yeah. And there's pictures of her online. This article said Stalin's daughter is an all-American badass. She's got her dedushka's eyes. I don't know what dedushka means. Mom or dad or grandma or grandpa. But this gun-toting punk rock gal is American as apple pie, although she loves to cook borscht. Tattooed Chersey Evans, 44, of Portland, Oregon. That's not her original name. Her original name was Olga something. She changed it. She's a Buddhist who runs an antique shop as far removed from her notorious grandfather, Joseph Stalin, for the former Soviet Union's ruthless man of steel. Svetlana Alievia, Stalin's only daughter, that's who the movie's about, defected from the Soviet Union in 1966 and married Evans's future father, architect William Wesley Peters. Stalin, for me, was one of the people who won the Second World War. She told the UK Express, then my mother asked me to listen to her. This is when I found out about his crimes. Millions were killed during Stalin's brutal regime from 29 to 53 when he ruled with an iron fist as he transformed the USSR into a military superpower. The bleach blonde is the youngest of the three children, the only two from her marriage to Peters, who was born Olga but chose to change her name. Her mother, who was married to Peters for 3 years, died of cancer at age 85. But she said, it's fitting. I started at the top as a princess and I will end at the bottom as like this. Nursing home she was in, it was like almost like a hostel, like they shared bathrooms, and yeah, she spent a lot of money though. She got a lot of money when she got here for telling her story. She got like $3 million, she spent that, and then she got another million for a book about her first year in the United States. And I just think she was kind of out of her mind, which, you know,
yes,
it wouldn't be that
right.
The granddaughter said She had an opportunity to work for the IRS, and she decided to start her own business. One had the prospect of excitement.
IRS?
She's smart. She could have gotten the gig there. Wow. Yeah. So, anyway, if you're a nerd and you like history, I would recommend Stalin's Daughter. It's a very straight-up documentary, no flares, just facts, lots of pictures. Loved it. Loved it. I know. My mom doesn't let my dad watch
hard things
or things where there's persecution or anything sad. She doesn't like any of that. So I emailed my dad on the down low and said, hey, when that lady you live with goes to Ladies League Golf, you might want to sneak in Stalin's Daughter. It's only like an hour and 15 minutes. Anyway.
I can't believe she went to Wisconsin.
Yeah. The place, there's pictures of it. It's not even, it's like west of Madison. She's not even in Milwaukee or Madison, like not even a town. She's out in a small, tiny, tiny, tiny town. I think she wanted to not be, you know, recognized. She was over it. But, you know, you left your two kids behind in Russia. You're never going to see them again. But she did go back. The daughter won't have anything to do with her. The daughter is a volcanist. Someone who studies volcanoes.
Wow.
Yeah. That's... Yeah, that's a ding-dong. Yeah. Cray-cray. So, also, this is not really an update, because I don't really know that I ever discussed him, but Bernie Madoff died. And just as a little recap, and part of the podcast, what I like to do is go one step further so you don't have to. Because, you know what? This lady's got that kind of time. Yeah. So, just as a recap, Bernie robbed 37,000 people in over 136 companies. Over two decades before he was arrested. He ripped off $65 billion in his Ponzi scheme with celebrities, billionaires. He died Wednesday of natural causes, so he was old, like 85 or something. Here's some of the people he ripped off. Like, this is all kind of forgotten about. Kevin Bacon, Kira Sedgwick, John Malkovich, Hall of Fame pitcher Sandy Koufax, who is what? Jewish, who is probably the person I've seen Lewis get the most excited ever in his life to meet.
Sandy Koufax.
He couldn't believe it. Wow. Yeah, he was so excited. He ripped off Steven Spielberg, New York Mets owner Fred Wilpon. Some of the investors could barely afford to invest in the first place, lost their entire life savings, and several later committed suicide as a result. Many of his victims came from the Jewish community, where Madoff had been a major philanthropist. Among them was Nobel Peace Prize winner and Holocaust survivor Eli Weisel, whose foundation lost $15 million. We thought he was God. We'd put everything in his hands. Hold on, I got to go one step a little further in this because I printed this out twice. Now, it's funny because people forgot about it, and then I thought, well, did they ever get any of that money back? They have, which is good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but I don't really know how. I mean, you can sell off what he had, but wait till you hear what the wife's up to. Yeah. John Malkovich, the actor, lost $2.2 million.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Here's what happened to the Mets owners, Fred Wilpon, Jeff Wilpon, and Saul Katz. They had more than 500 accounts with Madoff. Yeah. They were sued for $1 billion by the trustee for the victims who claimed they knew or should have known about Madoff's schemes, according to the New York Times. Well, here's the thing with Bernie. If somebody guarantees you a 10% profit, no matter what, that's impossible.
Right.
So he's doing something fucked up. I mean, I don't think the average person who hears, you know, oh, I got this investor guy. Well, the rich people have money people. I know that for a fact, because now throughout comedy, I've seen people get rich, and they don't even know anymore. They got a money guy, right? And that money guy invests the money, and maybe the money guy did it and didn't consult with, you know, so-and-so and hoop-de-ha. But that money guy should have known. How can this guy guarantee 10% every year, no matter what happens in the world? Nobody's that smart.
Right.
And I'm not saying they knew what he was doing. Yeah, it's just not, something isn't right there. But I can see where people be like, no, I swear to God. Because it did go smoothly for many, many years. So you think, well, fuck. And some people cashed out before it got weird. And those people, you know, I guess you just say they got lucky. The Wilpons, it turns out after they lost all them, these are the Mets people. They were forced to take out $65 million in loans to be able to make their payroll and borrow tens of millions from other baseball franchise owners. I didn't know this about, maybe that's why the Mets would have been so bad. Yeah. That's right. I'm talking to you, Keith Alberstadt. It ended with the Wilpons losing their financial stake in the Mets, with current owner Stephen Cohen buying up a minority of stake for $20 million. Cohen purchased the majority of the team from Wilpon last winter. The judge issued a forfeiture ordering stripping Madoff of all of his personal property, including real estate investments and $80 million in assets his wife Ruth had claimed were hers. So there's some of it back. But $80 million is nothing compared to $65 billion. I mean, over the years, Cohen and Partridge trustees labored to unwind the scheme and have recovered more than $14 billion of an estimated $17 billion investors put into his businesses. That's pretty flipping good.
Yeah.
They were appointed to recover the funds, sometimes suing hedge funds and other large investors who came out ahead and divvying up those proceeds to victims. Good. I mean, I hope. But the problem is, you know, if somebody was 70 when all this happened, mm-hmm. it's taken not in their lifetime. So I could see where they would just be distraught and say, I'll just kill myself. Cause what am I going to do? Go get a job at 75. The effort's still ongoing and has returned up to 70% of the lost funds of investors. More than 15,000 claims against Madoff were filed. According to the victim funds, more than $3 billion has been paid out to victims so far. Good. Not great, but good. The Department of the Justice said in December it began paying out approximately $488 million to help individual schools, charities, pension plans, and others recoup their losses. So this all started, by the way, in 2008. So, right. And then this is the whole timeline. He doesn't die till 2021. They don't start getting money till 2017. It took 11 years. So to get any money scooting around to pay back, and I don't know, a lot of these people were old. I don't know if that they could have all held on that long. That's the problem with the wheels of justice. They move too slowly. Where's Ruth? Where's Ruth Madoff? Did Ruth know?
No.
You think no?
No.
She worked there.
She's in denial,
but she knew.
She didn't work on the secret floor.
She didn't work on the secret floor, but the fact that I know there's a fucking secret floor, that tells me I know something's wrong. Something is not right. Let's say my brothers are up working on floor six, and I'm never allowed on floor six.
It's not that she didn't know the details. She didn't want to know.
She didn't want to know. No, she liked her life.
She likes handbags.
Mm-hmm. She's always maintained that she had no idea about her husband's Ponzi scheme. That defrauded 37, we know all that. Okay, this is the one. This one's too hard. Well, hold on. This is what, Ruth is not young. She's 79. She's been living in exile in Greenwich, Connecticut since 2012, stripped of.
There's no exile in Greenwich, Connecticut.
I know, right.
God.
No. You wanna, it's like that show.
I'm in my small.
Oh, I passed with the nieces and nephews. I passed one of those urban adventure parks and there's trampolines in there. I thought, that's not a real. You want an urban adventure? Get dropped off in Newark. With no phone and no money.
Right.
Let me know what happens.
Make it back to the city.
How about downtown St. Louis late at night? How about downtown Detroit? I can tell you all kinds of places that give you a real urban adventure. So hold on. I'm going to tell you. She kept visiting him for a while in prison, too. Both of the sons died in the wake of their father's imprisonment. One killed himself. The other one died of cancer. She has always said that she knew nothing, but she enjoyed an incredibly lavish lifestyle, courtesy of the fortune. They had a $7 million penthouse in Manhattan, a $4 million mansion in the Hamptons. That's not that much for the Hamptons, so must not have been that big. She's remained supportive of her husband while he served out his 150-year jail sentence. But hold on, it got more, but that one's hard to read. Sometimes when I print them out from the Daily Mail, it doesn't print out, although this one's better. Ruth Madoff is finally living in style again, sharing a $3.8 million waterfront mansion in Connecticut with a former daughter-in-law's family, the Post has learned. This is from New York Post.
She probably put it in their name to hide it. Come on.
Paddles thinks that she put it in their name to hide it. She might have, but they're going to be on to all that shit. They're looking. She can't, I think, one of her sons, they're both deceased, so it was the wife of one of them. So right. Those would be her grandkids.
Right.
So
we're going to put in grandkid A's name, and then they can't touch it.
But they would know if it was originally hers.
Doesn't matter, it's already moved.
Just hours after the prison death of her widely revealed husband, Ruth declined to come to the door of the sprawling four-bedroom house in the swank Lucas Point section of Old Greenwich. I don't know where Lucas Point is, but I'm looking at a photo of this place, and it looks, I'm looking at the back ass
she's
of it, and it looks great. She's right. She's here, but she's not available, said a young woman with long dark hair who held a large dog. They said that she moved into the house in September. Before that, she was living in a virtual exile in a rented 989-square-foot townhouse on the other side of the tracks in Old Greenwich. So I don't know. Is there a bad part of Greenwich? I have no idea.
No.
I never know where I'm at on the East Coast. Whenever I'm doing a show, I don't know. I never know. I don't even know what state I'm in half the time because it's all so confusing to a Midwest person.
Afford to live in Greenwich.
Oh, okay. Records shown it's owed by Susie Elkin, 56, the wife of, the older son, Mark, whom she has two kids, Daniel, 29, and Kate, 26. Mark is the one who committed suicide. How much did they know? I mean, they know.
They knew everything.
You can't do that. So that's where she's at. That's what happens. That's how it's going to end. You're going to be in a mother-in-law quarters of your daughter-in-law's house, of your son who committed suicide. Like, you know, I think people probably thought too. There were probably people who thought Bernie's full of shit. And then you think, but look at him, he gets away with it. You know, it's fucked up. Here's something hilarious though.
Moving on.
I am moving on. Okay, so every time... None of this is funny. I just have to say that before I say things and start laughing. This is not supposed to be funny. But I don't know if your parents... My dad will get stuck on things. And then we have to hear it, that speech, a lot. For a long time, back in the day, it was that the baseball in Major League Baseball was juiced. You don't need to know any more than that. But it was a theory my dad had. And every time I'd say, oh, the Cardinals lost again or whatever, or the Cardinals won, or all of us had to listen to the juice theory. His next, one of the things he's been on lately is every time there's a police shooting of someone who may or may not have deserved said shooting, he goes on and on about their salaries. And then if you Google them, like a cop in Lake Ozark, Missouri, about $15 an hour. Well, no, it's you can look it up on Google. You can look up your county, your city, your state, and see what your cop makes, and then you can do it by annually or monthly. They break it down for you, but that's what it comes down to. So, you know, my dad's thing is like, well, who the hell, you know, it's dangerous to be a cop, and who's going to take the gig if, because they're not paying enough, is my dad's point, to get the finest of the finest. And he thinks, you know, you're going to get young people that are inexperienced or maybe some people with anger issues. And maybe you just luck out and get normal people. But if you paid a whole lot more, you'd have a bigger group to choose from. And you can pick the finest. Well, I never thought I'd live to see the day that not only do I agree with Pat Robertson, he gave my dad's speech out loud. On television, Pat Robertson, Google how old Pat is, would you? He's old.
My God.
I bet he's, let me guess.
Biblical. He's biblical.
Yeah, he's like from the Bible, which is weird because he loves the Bible. But clearly, even Jesus doesn't want him. Let me guess. 89.
Nope.
91.
Yep.
Whoa!
He's a Pisces.
He's a Pisces. Pat Robertson is a Pisces. When's his birthday?
March 21st, 1930. Holy
shit.
Actually, he's an Aries.
Oh, he's an Aries?
He's on the day.
Oh, he's a cusp baby.
Yeah, he's a cusp baby.
Well, maybe that's why his show goes back and forth. This was so great. And I'm going to put this in the show notes. So you guys, you have to see the demonstration. Pat does a live demonstration of a Glock, which is a handgun, of which my mother has one. Yeah. I don't know if I should say that out loud, but she does because she's afraid at the farm. Of what? I'm not sure. Does she also saw that on Law & Order, that gun, and said she wanted one for Mother's Day. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that sweet? That's the kind of sentimental, sweet mom you want to have. Mom, what would you like? Bullets for my Glock? Anyway, Pat Robertson did a demonstration of a Glock and a taser. He's talking about the case in where the lady cop shot the kid in the car, and she thought she supposedly thought she was tasing him and then went, holy shit, I shot him, and it was a real gun. 700 Club host and evangelical leader Pat Robinson demonstrated the difference between a Glock handgun and a taser on air, then let loose a rant against the onslaught of police violence, and he chalked it up to low quality and poorly paid workforce. Wow. I'm going to tell my dad he can sub for Pat. Pat's got to have days where he's tired.
Yeah.
He's 91 years old. He's also shrinking so tiny. Pat's getting so small. They're going to have to give like a booster seat and put more sweaters on him because I'm sure he's cold. TV studios are always freezing, and he looks like he weighs about 64 pounds.
He's the size of the gun.
Well, here's what's weird is Pat also demonstrated. I don't know if what Pat had on that TV is the taser gun that every cop has. It didn't look like what I thought a taser gun looked like at all. Maybe it's old. I don't know. Maybe if there's somebody listening to the show that is a cop, could you go look at that video and then YouTube comment me? Is that what like the one he has is like yellow. It completely looks like a toy. And then he has a Glock. The tasers I've seen are like black and they don't look like a toy. They're not brightly colored, but what do I know? But anyway, here's the rest of it. Following a news report on the arrest for police officer Kim Potter for killing of Dante Wright, Robertson and co-host T. Mewison, I don't know, used visual aids to discuss her claim, Kim Potter's claim, that she mistook her sidearm for a taser gun. There's just no comparison. Except Pat talks like this. I'm going to do my best, Pat Robertson. There's just no comparison. Wielding models of each weapon. Now, how she made the difference as she shot that poor guy to death, saying, this is what I thought was my taser, and if you can tell the difference in the feel of these things, that's crazy. And then he hands him to this lady who's the co-host, and she's, I don't know how old that lady is, and she's like, yeah, one's real heavy and one's not. And I'm like, then Pat touched on other recent incidences of police violence. You know that I'm pro-police, folks, and I think we need the police. We need their service, and if they do a good job, but if they don't stop this onslaught, they cannot do this, Robertson said, referring to the Virginia traffic stop that ended in violence against Army Lieutenant Cameron Nazario. That's the one, the guy who was totally in his military outfit, and they're giving him all this shit. You do not have to get out of a car for a traffic stop. No. I don't. And then when the guy goes, I don't have to get out of the car, it's a traffic stop. If that's what you're even stopping me for, I don't have to get out of the car. And then the cop goes, you better get out of the goddamn car. It was, it just escalated so quickly over nothing. He had paper plates because he had just bought the car. Right. They didn't even care that he was military. Usually there's like a fellow buddy-buddy respect thing there. That wasn't even well. He said, you know, the police in Virginia picked up that lieutenant in the Army and began to give him trouble. And our state police are highly trained, but why they don't stop doing this? And this thing that's going on in Minnesota with Derek Chauvin, I mean, they ought to put him under the jail.
Under the jail.
I don't know what under the jail means. Bury him? I don't know, Pat. Wow. It's just terrible what is happening. And why don't the police open their eyes to what the public relations are? And they've got to stop this stuff. Maybe we need more training, said his co-host. She was trying to chime in when you watch the video. I got an ideal. How about more training? Robinson, an ideal. I know, I love it when everybody said it. Robinson was a hard no on that proposition. He said, it's not about more training. I think the problem is we've got to pay them more. I can't wait for my dad's head to explode. My dad's probably never agreed with Pat Robinson in his entire life. And now that's it. That's how bad the problem is. I and my father agree with Pat Robinson. We don't have the finest in the police department. Well, we probably have some, but we could have all if we paid great money. They're low paid people, Terry. They don't get adequate. He didn't say adequate. What? It just stopped there because he's old and he runs his sentences run out. It's not a question of training. It's a question of hiring a more superior workforce, and we aren't doing that. But we need police. We need them, and we need to honor them, and I'm all for it. But at the same time, we cannot have a bunch of clowns running around who are underpaid and not really the best and brightest. We've got to have the best in there.
Right.
Wow. I've never done a Pat Robertson impression. I hope you all enjoyed it. I can work on it and make it better, but that was the first chance out of the gate. And you got to go watch, Paddles will put it in the show notes, you got to go watch the video because it's, how is that man on television?
91.
Here's a shocker. Hunter Biden's book, Beautiful Things, is a sales bust. Okay. Listen, who the fuck, this is where I don't understand publishers. I really, really don't because I've met with publishers a long time ago when they wanted every comedian to write a book about whatever. And I didn't even want to go. I didn't want to write a book. I'm not a writer person. I don't like, Lou writes books. And I call it being in book jail because he's no fun and he can't do anything. And I don't know. It's just not fun for me. As much as I don't love the general public sometimes, I really like people individually. And without people, it's just not fun to me. So book people are kind of, you know, anyway, wasn't my thing. But these publishers, well, they're just more insular. They're happy being, like, Lou can be alone for long periods of time and not be bothered by that. I don't love it. It's okay for a while, but, you know, not days on end.
Get you back to the people.
Well, I got enough friends up at the...
Your seven-year-old
friends. At my bar golf course. Yeah, I have plenty of friends. Never have a problem just hanging out at the bar. But Hunter Biden, I don't know who published it. Let me see if I can find out. But what, how dumb? Or did you do it because of pressure? Did Joe Biden call, his father call and say, nobody gives a shit.
Simon and Schuster.
Of course. Simon and Schuster, who's who? Carly Simon. Did you know that, people? Put out a joke one time about that on Twitter, and people like didn't get the joke. Carly Simon is of that Simon family, Simon and Schuster. Money, 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 money. Raised with a ton of money. She still seems like a lovely person, but somebody should tweet Carly Simon. What was your family thinking? Why would you give a book to this idiot? I mean, he's done a bunch of crack. He's done a bunch of blow. He's pissed away a lot of money. First of all, if I wanted to hear that story, I could call one of my 9 million friends, and probably a third of them have already done all this. Not that I'm bragging, but why would you give him money? Nobody's going to buy it. Nobody cares. I bet his family doesn't even want to read it.
No. His dad wouldn't know if he read it.
I don't know if Joe Biden read it. Would you want to? Joe seems a little old for all that. He seems a little old to understand the whole kit and caboodle of addiction and all that. Like, I think he's supportive, but do you really get it? There's a different level. But also, how tiring. This Hunter guy's old. Like, enough is enough. This is okay in your teens and your 20s. People go through shit, 30s, 40s. But this guy, I don't know. He seems to be, I don't know, he got all this media crap, though. He was on everything. You know, the CNN and all the, I don't know, the morning shows, CBS Morning. And I only saw clips of it, and I thought, why is this a story? If he was going to become the president, then yes, I would go, well, I probably should know what was he doing. These are kind of off the beaten path, crazy things. Anyway, that's just a breaking news thing. He's only sold 10,000. I bet I could sell more than 10,000 bucks.
Yeah.
I don't know what about, but.
Let's do an over under and then you write a book.
Well, what if I just had a book of my, what I think are my funniest tweets? Probably not. Because you could just go on Twitter and read them for free. Maybe I'll make them NFTs. All right, this is something you guys know I like. Art things that are easy, not hard. This is pretty cool. I've been to the Louvre in Paris, me and my cousin Mary, on one of our backpacking trips. I was there before the pyramid entrance. And it was really cool because before that bullshit, you could go in and one of like 10 entrances in the line. Now they funnel you through the pyramid. Ugh. It's just through the gift shop first. Kind of bullshit. But anyway, because the Louvre has been closed and stuff, and I think this is awesome, they have digitized and put 482,000 pieces of art, and the Louvre has a lot more than that, but they have put them online. So if you go to the Louvre's website, Google it, you can start seeing it all. And it, you know, I don't think it's as cool to see the Mona Lisa like that. You know, you kind of want to see that for real in your lifetime, if you can. But if you can't, what was more interesting to me is I plowed through a ton of them. There's just so many things I never even saw. And I've been there more than once. And you could never see it all probably in a lifetime. So if you want to go online and look at some fancy art, that's where you can do that. Oh, my God. This is a super alert. All right, I've got two more things for today. Let me make sure. Pat Robertson. Cute. Oh, my God, Coinbase, too. All right, you guys, I've talked to you about cryptocurrency. Once again, giant asterisk, I am not a financial advisor. I'm a lady who's trying to get somebody that I know to get their dog to win the dog brew bush contest. That's who I am. So you probably shouldn't necessarily take this as educated advice. Coinbase, which is the biggest trading market for cryptocurrency, which is the app I have on my phone. There's a little C. It's a very cute little app.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Their stock went public. So it's picture like the New York Stock Exchange. Coinbase is an exchange for cryptocurrency. You can buy and you can sell. And it has the most Bitcoin, so it has the most things to sell and the most things to trade. And they went public on the stock market, and I think it opened at like 390. Didn't really stick to that, but it's not doing bad, like at 340. So if you want to invest in the future stock market, which I would call. Now, here's something. This is, now, I have to be very careful how I talk about this because I have shows in Clearwater, Florida, and I...
You'll drive in and out.
No, should I not talk about this?
No, talk about it.
Leah Remini's show scares me so bad. Of the Scientologist people.
I love that show.
I loved Leah Remini's show about Scientology. And I think she's so ballsy for doing it. Because as you can see in her show, they're not afraid to harass. Like if you fuck with them, they will fuck you back harder. Excuse me while I pour my second beer, which is Miller 64.
You can't have more than one.
I can't have more than one big person beer. I have to go back to baby beer after that. Or then I'll be drunk in the day and I've got things to do. This is kind of... So if you go to Clearwater... So there's downtown Clearwater. And then you go over the bay. And then there's Clearwater Beach, the one you've probably seen on TV or you've heard of. And there's a lot of East Coast people there. Some of my brother's in-laws, a lot of Philly people there. Matter of fact, they put in Wawa's. The gas station, quick shops, whatever you want to call it, convenience stores, just for the, but I was so excited because once you go into a Wawa, it's hard. Well, it's better than Love's. Love's is just more the Midwest thing, but, and Southern. Well, Love's are everywhere, as we found out on here, but the Wawa sandwiches you can order and stuff. I mean, seriously, I would never, I could live on Wawa food forever and never be sad.
No.
It's great.
It's
the whole thing works marvelously. But anyway.
Good coffee, too.
So if you go over to Clearwater Beach, everything seems normal. What you would expect in Florida. Probably more East Coasters than other places in Florida. Because a lot of the East Coasters go to the East Coast of Florida. But to see them on the West Coast is usually sometimes strange for Midwest people, but they've really bought a lot of stuff down there. But downtown Clearwater, which is where I work, there's a theater there, and I always have really fun shows, but the downtown has a very odd vibe. And initially, I didn't know why. I'm like, why are all these people? First, I thought they were cruise ship people, like workers on cruise ships. And they kind of are, because there's the Scientology cruise ship.
Right.
But I thought they would work for Carnival or, you know, maybe a cruise
all
ship.
Of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then I think I've already told this story, but I tried to hand my rental car keys to one of them in front of like a Hilton, and the guy wouldn't take them. And then I see another guy, and he took them. And I said, why, is that guy off work or something? He's like, ma'am, that's not a valet. That's a Scientologist.
Scientologist.
Oh, my God. They need new uniforms because they look like the valet guys. And then I thought, well, at least I know he was honest. He could have taken the car.
Right.
I gave him the keys. I don't even know what I rented.
He doesn't want to leave.
No, he doesn't want to leave. Well, he can't leave. He doesn't have any money.
He wants to stay right there.
So I was talking to the guys at the theater, and they were telling me how Clearwater Scientology owns all these buildings in downtown Clearwater, and they own a lot of space that isn't developed, and it just sits there and seems to be that their goal is to own all of it, all of downtown. As a result, though, there's not a lot of like restaurants or bars. It seems eerily quiet at night. In the day, it seems like a bustling, strange university town with cruise ship workers is the best way I could. But they're very, the people are very like on a track, like I'm going to walk from A to B. I'm very serious person. The vibe is odd, and I'm being kind. And I don't know where my people come from, but come to the show, because I'm always like, are they
Tampa?
Yeah, I guess people are driving in. And at least we know that they're probably not going to steal your car, because I actually gave them the goddamn keys to a car and they didn't steal it. So it's safe. But this is the Church of Scientology. This is currently, the church is one of five developers to bid on a project to develop three city-owned parcels of land. And if I went on the map, and they're right by the water, right by the bay. But there are four other bidders. It doesn't specify what they want to buy in what they want to do with it. They won't say. But in 2019, 58 properties in Clearwater are owned by Scientology.
Oh my 58. God.
60 are owned countywide. All of them are 72% tax exempt. Well, I mean, how can I talk about that? I mean, look at the Vatican. I mean, that's tax exempt. But I feel like that was a long, long time ago.
Right.
Like, me and Lewis decided one time that you can't be tax-free if you're a religion that is 200 years. Or no, we made it 100 years. If you're not more than 100 years old, because you just made that one up. Because by 100 years ago, say 1921, we had all the religions you need to choose from.
Right.
There's Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, Catholicism. You could be anything after that, me and Lou are throwing the horseshit flag on. Mm-hmm. That's just made up because you want to be tax-free. Maybe I'll start a religion right in this house. Maybe it'll be...
The Legion of Termites.
Termites with strange beers. The Church of Termites was chambered. 58 properties. I mean, that is just...
That's crazy.
The document does not specify what the church wants to build in downtown Clearwater. I mean, other companies with ties to Scientology reportedly purchased 100 commercial properties within distance of the downtown waterfront between 2017 and 2019. The church has acquired more than 270 buildings since 2004 in the major population centers. The headquarters in Clearwater called the Flag Building, and I've been there. And boy, you can't get close.
No.
You know, especially when I had my phone up and I was filming. And I was scared shitless because I've watched the Leah Remini thing, and then I thought, you know, I do have this show here. I don't want to fuck it up. I'm even not even sure I'm going to keep this in the podcast because then I think I don't need them up my ass at the theater. Not that I'm popular enough for them to be listening. They probably wouldn't listen to me anyway, right?
They listen to everything.
Well, we're not going to put it in the show notes and we're not hashtagging it.
No. Hashtag Scientology hater.
But that guy that's in the show with Leah Remini, I forget his name, Mike something.
Mike.
He said that their goal, their whole goal, is to just buy everything. Oh, no, his name's Tom DeVocht, a former Scientology executive who oversaw the church's property purchases since 2001. He's former. He's quit. Told the outlet that the church has one intention and one intention only. Buy as much property as they can for the church, whether they use it or not, so no one else can be there.
Mike Rinder was there.
Oh, yeah, Mike Rinder's the guy in the show. Yeah.
He's awesome.
But, I mean, for Leah Remini to take that on... Because she's probably made shit tons of money off the sitcom with, I forget what it's called. What was it called? I don't watch sitcoms.
King of Queens,
right, with Kevin.
Kevin James.
Yeah. She didn't need the money. You can tell that wasn't about the money. That was a passionate project that I don't know, I wouldn't.
She's amazing.
I've taken on. All right, we're going to close with good news in the art world.
Yay.
Right. This is a feel-good story about a lost statue. First century Roman statue looted a decade ago, found in Belgium by off-duty police. First of all, I didn't know there were art police. Now I know another job I wanted to do that nobody told me about. How come nobody told me about this at University of Missouri or Southern Illinois University? Italian art police. Maybe you got to be Italian. I don't know.
Yeah, if you want to go cheat some art.
Yeah. Italian art police recovered a first century Roman statue that had been looted from an archaeological site nearly a decade ago after officers spotted it in an antique shop in Belgium, Italian authorities said this week. Okay, this can be hard for me to say. Oh, my God. The Carabinieria Command for the Protection of Cultural Heritage, TPC.
Wow.
Yeah. Said in a statement that two of its officers on assignment in Brussels had been browsing a neighborhood of antique shops after work when they came upon a marble statue that struck them as suspicious. The headless, toga-draped figure appeared to be of Italian origin and bore the signature damage of excavation tools. Wow. I don't know that I would know what those look like, but these guys did. Upon their return to Italy, the officers cross-referenced their photographs with a database of stolen cultural assets, which confirmed their hunch. The statue had been stolen in November 2011 from the Villa Marini Detina archaeological site on the outskirts of Rome. How do you steal that?
No idea.
I'm looking at a picture of this thing. It looks heavy as all get out. Unless it's hollow, but... And it's still got an arm. It looks like someone has a broken arm in the toga, but I'm sure they were just being fashionable, but it looks like they have a broken arm. Upon their return to Italy, the officers... Oh, I already did that. The life-size Togatus statue is valued at $120,000 U.S. Its recovery required an international effort. The statue was seized and brought back to Italy in February following a European investigation order accepted by Belgian authorities. Oh, wow, they got him taken. A subsequent investigation in collaboration with Belgian authorities uncovered illicit trafficking in cultural goods by an Italian trader who used a Spanish pseudonym. He has been referred to Italian prosecutors for allegedly receiving and illegally exporting the statue. The TPC has worked for decades to fight art crime, safeguarding works in the region struck by natural disaster and combating antiquities trafficking around the world. In 2014, for example, it recovered 137,000 works with an estimated value of $500 million. That's fantastic. Yes. I think that would be the coolest job. Which next week, Termites, you all need to go watch the art stealing thing on Netflix. It's called This Is a Painting. Just go to the front page of Netflix. It'll be on there. Because I've started watching it. I'm not going to talk about it because I haven't.
This is a robbery.
This is a robbery. We'll put it in the show notes because we're going to talk about that next week. But as you're watching it, if you start, I wanted to play a drinking game every time somebody with a super duper Boston accent in the show says the word at. I I love the Boston accent. Yeah, just, I don't know. I heard somebody stole some at. Every time I heard at, I just wanted to laugh. And when you see, here's the other thing. Well, I'll wait. But when you're watching it, just know that I've been to Boston 100 billion times in my life. And I am the first person to Google top 10 things to do. And then I do them. And then I go top 20 things. And then I do those.
Tell
like,
them about your Whitey Bulger tour.
Well, yeah. I took a Whitey Bulger foot tour. And I had a, I abandoned it in mid-tour because I thought the guy was going to kill me. I thought it was like a, I thought, am I that lady? Did I just sign up for rape and murder? On where did I find it?
He had no sign. He wanted cash.
He didn't have a sign. He wanted cash. And he wasn't Irish.
No.
Not that you have to be, but he seemed very far away from what would have been a person that would have known a lot about that and lived, grew up in that area. And anyway, and this museum where you're going to see on the show that the art has been stolen from, I never heard of it. And I'm that lady. I'm the nerd. I'm the geek. I go to see everything. I've been, I don't think there's anything left in Boston. That's what I do with every town I go to. I go do their things and then I do them once or twice or I do them forever if I liked them or I just quit. And then I just experience the town as a normal person, as a non-tourist after that. And I don't know how I missed it, but I did. I never heard of this place. I heard of the lady's name, but I don't even know why. I can tell you where Paul Revere's grave is. Yeah.
You're walking the freeway.
Faneuil Hall. I mean, I've done all the touristy things. Sam Adams. Is his grave there? I think it is.
His brewery is there.
No, his grave's in that one little cemetery down by the square deal. Uh-huh. Yeah. So anyway, that's it, termites. Go start watching that. It's really good. And there are a few times so far that I think they've gone a little off the beaten path where I think we're getting away from what we're talking about, but they have managed to string it back in. So they did a good job, even though sometimes it's like, why are we talking about this guy? Like, what went on there?
Right.
There's so many funny things about it. It when you just to see the people that maybe stole it. No, they were commissioned at a bare minimum because the rest of their crimes they're not art thieves. They have like cocaine and gun dealings and. Drugs, you know, not like, you're not going to believe it. I stole a Rembrandt. Who's that? I don't know, but he's got a really fine piece of art. Give me the knife. I'm going to cut it out. They didn't even steal the paintings. They cut them out of the frames. And I guarantee you they're so old that when you roll it, there's no way the paint didn't crack. Because I paint, and I know that paint I use, well, maybe they had better paint. But I don't think so. I think they had worse paint. And that paint chips, and when it hardens, and if you roll a canvas, it flakes off. Like
it's like just, concrete.
Yes. So I was talking to my sister. Well, I'll talk about all this next week, because one of my theories is maybe they stole it, and they rolled it, and all of them broke. And then they went, shit, and burnt them or something. Because that one guy on his deathbed goes, there are no paintings. There's no paintings. There's no paintings. Not paintings.
There's no art.
Paintings. There's no art. Anyway, all right, termites. You all have a good week. And I'll catch you later. I'm going to go do something fun. And that's all I got for you, termites. Termites. Here's the question. Should you have an 80th birthday party or an 85th? Shout me out on YouTube. My parents are saying 85. I thought we were supposed to do it 80. But I'm glad if they say 85, that means I'm off the hook. Me and my sisters don't have to plan all this.
What if they don't make it?
Well, they may not make it.
But it's their choice.
If they both don't make it, then I don't have to plan any party.
True.
The wake will be the party.
Wow.
The wakes are always the party.
That's for us.
That's why I watched the Philip funeral, and I'm like, no eulogy by any family member? Nothing?
They're all too mad at
Jesus.
Harry.
Yeah, make Harry get up and say something. Come on, you like Pawpaw. Get up there. Tell a story. I mean, the Irish would never settle for that.
No.
We're just going to let the priest say shit and we all leave? Right. No, somebody has to get up and give a eulogy. At least do the readings.
Right.
No, no. Nobody got up. No. Maybe it's COVID rules. I have a feeling it's just...
English.
Stiff upper lip. Well, stiff upper lip. Let's get up. Let the deacon do it. Whatever they're called. I don't know what they're called in the Church of England because I am not a member of the Church of England. Okay. Well, that's it, termites. That's all I got. Ready? Night, night, termites.